This is the first Republican convention ever held here in New York City. I've never seen so many Republicans in New York City. It's great.
New York is the mecca. I mean, 9/11, the elections. I think people are fed up and they want to scream, they want to yell, they want to let their voices be heard. And what better place than New York City?
I've never been to New York, so like not only am I at a protest, I'm also in New York for the first time, which is really exciting. I'm really, really excited.
That's Zoe Ginsberg. She's a 16-year-old student activist in Urbana, Illinois. She and her friends drove all night for the week's protest, just in time for the August 29th march, organized by United for Peace and Justice. The day saw close to 500,000 demonstrators marching through Midtown, kicking off a week of creative and focused protests against the policies of the Republican Party.
But we finally got here, sleep-deprived and tired, and now like we're here marching in the streets, and it's really surreal.
It was just an absolute flood of people in the streets.
Leslie Kaufman is mobilizing coordinator for United for Peace and Justice.
The march lasted for more than 6 hours. Just seas of people moving through Midtown Manhattan. There were contingents of families of people currently serving in the military. There were veterans groups.
This is 1000coffins.org. Basically, it's 1,000 coffins draped in the American flag to represent soldiers that have been killed in Iraq, those that have been classified by George Bush so that the American people cannot get the full impact of the cost. Here we're trying to make an emotional statement with 1,000 coffins in the American flag to show what we're really spending. Talented, trained American people in a war that is not only killing Americans, but thousands and thousands of others.
There was kind of a festival, carnival atmosphere, as serious as the issues are that people were focusing on, there was also a sense of celebrating dissent and celebrating the coming together of huge numbers of people to fight for a different path.
Everyone here has lost someone. Hold it! And many of us have lost people in the war, this war or previous wars. And we've given our lives, usually in American wars, with honor to fight a cause that is behind the goal of the American people. This one is not really a goal of the American people. It's not clear at all that it's not an agenda of George Bush and company. He's coming here to be a hero to New Yorkers. We're not buying it.
There was a special significance to this week for New Yorkers, for all of us who lived through the 9/11 attacks, who had thousands of our neighbors killed. To see that attack on our city turned into a justification for war, to know that our government lied to us about the reasons for war, and then to have that administration come and hold its political convention here trying to capitalize on our tragedy is just absolutely enraging.
As far as I'm concerned, these streets are ours. I'm a free man on a free sidewalk, on a free street, and the parks are ours too, and we can walk in any park we want and do whatever the hell we want because we're free people.
It's like we're about to get corralled, actually, if all three streets on either side of us are blocked.
So the peaceful march has turned into total chaos, is what
happened. Are low-income people in the street? Yeah! Are people of color in the street? Yeah!
The next day was a Monday, August 30th. A coalition of New York City community groups called the Still We Rise Coalition organized a march and rally. The purpose was to bring attention to how low-income people of color had been affected under the Bush administration.
People came out and it was an authentic march of real people, you know, I mean, impacted by these policies in real ways, you know, mothers and children and immigrants and poor folk and folk on parole and releasees and homeless that showed up, people that are in support of people.
In the last 4 years, we've definitely seen a decrease of support going into communities of color, and the war has affected all of us.
You're talking about the deportation of Dominicans has risen under the Bush administration in the hundreds. You're talking about our children are being failed. You're talking about this year alone, over 20,000 young people were not employed in New York City because of the Bush agenda. We're talking about social services that are being taken away from our seniors. You're talking about my grandmother whose Medicare and Medicaid was affected because of his policies. We're talking about giving more to corporate America than to the people.
We showed up blocks long, you know what I mean? And we were heard, and the backdrop was the Republican National Convention.
Hell no! Got money for war, won't feed the poor!
Hell no! Hell no!
Got money for war, won't feed the poor!
Thousands of activists came out in support of immigrant rights and education funding, and against homelessness and racism. AIDS treatment was a dominant issue throughout the week. AIDS activists infiltrated the convention to shout at delegates and performed a nude protest in Times Square.
Right now, only 3% of the worldwide people living with AIDS have access to treatment. 97% do not have access. And we're investing as a nation billions of dollars. For war, we're not investing enough money for prevention and research.
George Bush said, I promise to give AIDS drugs to everybody on waiting lists in the U.S. The truth or a lie? He promised $20 million last June, but to end all the ADAP waiting lists, we need $217 million. And the truth is, there are 1,500 people on ADAP waiting lists, but there are 60,000 people who can't even get on the ADAP waiting list. We want treatment for all of them right now.
So we might throw out numbers, but there are names, you know what I mean? We might throw out figures, but there are faces. And I'm just one of the names, one of the faces, you know, Louis Jones, who's been living with, you know, HIV/AIDS for 18 years.
Louis Jones was one of the organizers of the Still We Rise march during the RNC. He works with Positive Health Project, one of the several needle exchange programs in New York City to help control the spread of HIV to drug users. He says the AIDS epidemic is a continual threat to the well-being of low-income people of color.
HIV and AIDS is still the leading cause of death in our communities, you know, especially among women of color, you know, in particular. And yet, you know, with HIV rates so prevalent, especially like in New York, you know, where there was an increase of like 100,000 new cases in Manhattan alone, with 20,000 not even knowing their status, how can we have a policy that this administration consistently proposes to fund and increase in funding that's abstinent-based, non-scientifically abstinent-based, over what has been, you know, proven scientifically as effective in terms of HIV prevention, such as, you know, condoms, which have been proven to be 99% effective in stopping the spread of HIV.
George Bush very famously, a year and a half ago, promised $15 billion to fight global AIDS. The truth or a lie? The truth is he has cut the U.S. contribution to the global fund to fight AIDS in half to only $200 million. And when Congress approved the first $3 billion for his separate program, he cut that by $1 billion. So we say, George Bush, no more lies. No more lies.
We are the America that gives more than any other country to fight AIDS in Africa and the developing world. And we are the America that fights not for imperialism, but for human rights and democracy.
The Still We Rise Coalition combined the messages of peace abroad and social justice at home.
This is a lot more diverse crowd. Yesterday was really, really whitewashed.
Sometimes you think of our, you know, our white compatriots that are out there, you know what I mean, that intellectually understand and through school and education understand these global connections of things that sometimes elude us that are like dealing with the day-to-day survival issues right here in our face, not knowing there's a connection.
Our march certainly was majority white, but compared to the other big anti-war marches that have happened, I think we have made real progress in reaching out to communities of color, and that while we're not where we want to be in terms of diversifying the movement, I think there's been real progress.
Money for jobs, not for war. Stop the war on the poor. Money for jobs, not for war.
government economy is not supposed to go to jobs. You see, that's right there is a socialist concept in the first place. You don't have the government pay for jobs. You have you free business to create jobs.
The protesters outside Madison Square Garden weren't all against Bush. When a handful of counter-protesters showed up to support the Republican agenda at several rallies, the result was spontaneous political discourse.
I counter-protest against the left ever since 9/11. I come to everything they do.
Yeah. It's not about what Kerry stands for, it's about what Bush stands for. What do you stand for? What do you stand for? You sound like you're making a lot of noise. I can't hear you.
Spins are never stopping. John Kerry flipping and popping.
They're singing songs in support of George Bush. And one song was Kerry Flip Flops. And then they said they were Christians from California, so I shared my interpretation of the gospel with them, and they think America is being attacked and they need to kill.
Exchange ideas. I'm so for that. But just as I don't condemn you for supporting Kerry, don't condemn me for supporting Bush.
Don't think because I'm exercising the right to support
Kerry. But that is democracy. That is democracy. So I'm going to get back to my support of Bush.
I think she was taught to say over and over, it's not a black and white issue. Because she kept saying that. Every time you present something simple, like America was not attacked, which says it's not a black and white issue. But she's cool. She's expressing her views. But I think the important thing was that we don't need a government to speak freely. We have our tongues and our lungs, and we can speak. We don't need that, you know.
And their leaders funded the terrorists.
We support you because you're white.
Sell all you have and give it to the poor.
We are from Southern California, and we are the GOP Jamboree. We are not here to anger anybody. We are here to just show our support for our president. Our main thing is that we know it's not a black and white issue, that it is a gray issue. And our feelings, our sentiments lead toward Bush. One of the main reasons is his faith in God and Christ. We feel like that can only lead to good. If you look in Genesis, if you look in Exodus, in the Bible, even God shows his wrath. In the Quran, God shows his wrath.
I hope their hearts turn and that they learn that there's a better way than supporting fascism.
In order for freedom to reign, there sometimes is some violence. I believe in Gandhi, Ahimsa. I am so nonviolent. But sometimes it happens. It's not an excuse. It's not a justification. It is a result of resistance.
Well, I think that talking with her on that level was probably more effective than shouting at her or chanting, and that's why I wanted to talk with her, just to communicate. Dialogue. I believe in peaceful dialogue. I believe in communication and sharing ideas. It's the only way.
There's another way you can tell you're Republican. Your faith in free enterprise, faith in the resourcefulness of the American people, and faith in the U.S. economy. And to those critics who are so pessimistic about our economy, I say, don't be economic girly man.
On Wednesday, September 1st, 2004, over 1,000 people lined up on Broadway from Ground Zero to Madison Square Garden. Each held up a pink piece of paper outlining the Bush administration's contribution to the nation's unemployment.
There are about, on this block, maybe 100 or so people holding up pink slips and really demonstrating that this could be any one of us. under an economy and an administration that's totally unpredictable and totally confusing and crazy. So we're representing all of those who are at home, unemployed, people who, as Arnold Schwarzenegger puts it, are girly men who are concerned about not being able to feed their families at the end of the day or at the end of the week.
Osheda Hall Phillips organizes with Groundwork, a neighborhood group that strengthens communities through education and employment programs.
I work in the fifth poorest community in New York City, East New York, Brooklyn, where we have the highest unemployment rates of any place in the city. We have the highest number of youth that have turned to everything in the absence of finding good work opportunities, including prostitution and drug use. And many of this was going on at the time he took office, and it's just gotten worse. So we see every day people coming into our office looking for job opportunities, calling us for job opportunities, and there's just really nothing there.
Because we acted, our economy is growing again and creating jobs, and nothing will hold us back.
2.4 million people have become unemployed since 01 when he took office. Those who have become reemployed, of those 2.4 million, 57% of them have had to take lower paying jobs, and there's still 1.2 million that are totally unemployed, continue to be unemployed. He promised to create 2.1 million new jobs from June 03 to January 04, and the actual number that he did create was about 300,000. So he's just consistently underperformed and consistently misrepresented what he was going to do and consistently lied to the American people.
We have seen a shaken economy rise to its feet.
The numbers speak for themselves. Clearly, when they talk about the average number of jobs created under every president since Truman being 135,000 and him having a negative 80,000 jobs under his administration, I think he needs to be held accountable for that.
Opportunity also depends on a vibrant, growing economy. As President Bush and I were sworn into office, our nation was sliding into recession, and American workers were overburdened with federal taxes. Then came the events of September 11th, which hit our economy very hard.
One of their favorite things to say is, "Everything changed on September 11th." That's one of their favorite things to say. And for me, some things did, yeah. Made me think about my life a lot more. So it did kind of change me a little bit. But it certainly doesn't make me want to go and invade another country, you know? And I just hate to see the exploitation of that day.
In front of Sotheby's auction house, protesters heckled Republican delegates that gathered to celebrate late musician Johnny Cash. The protesters say Cash was an advocate of prison reform and the working poor, and retaliated by singing anti-Republican renditions of Cash's songs.
And those Republicans, they got me rolling in my grave.
They're saying Johnny Cash supports Republicans, and he doesn't. He supports the little people, not the rich. And so it's just another example of twisting the truth into lies.
What was really appalling was the corporate media coverage in the weeks leading up to the convention, where there were a huge number of stories that were obviously given to reporters by police sources saying that violent anarchists were going to come and sow chaos. And there were all these scare stories that were coming out around the same time that the alert level, the terror alert level, was raised, all combining to try to create this climate of fear.
We are outside of Fox News for the second day in a row at a media march talking about the bad job the corporate media is doing.
Well, some people in the media have had things to say about the protests so far. Let's think about them. Carol Lynn from CNN said after the protests, "I know it's a democracy, but sometimes it's hard to take it all seriously." You know what's hard to take seriously sometimes? CNN.
I've disconnected my cable. It's gotten so bad since the Bush administration has come into power. I don't have CNN or Fox or anything anymore. I canceled the cable. I couldn't take it anymore.
When we started in CBS, the morning of the protest, before anyone hit the streets, Bob Schieffer on the CBS morning show Face the Nation told the national audience that the threat of terrorist attacks hangs over everything, and a quarter of a million demonstrators who have come to protest who knows what want to tramp all over the new grass in Central Park. Thank you, CBS, for your coverage. The in-depth analysis that they pay you millions of dollars for. We're not buying that, are we? How about Bill O'Reilly at Fox News Channel? Hey now, let's give him a chance. He's not so bad. Bill O'Reilly, before anyone hit the streets in New York, said, coming to town are thousands of protesters. So far, so good. This is good for Bill O'Reilly. All true up to this point. Continuing, some of whom are terrorists themselves. What do we say to Fox? Who was here yesterday at the Fox rally? I heard a chant. I can't remember how it went. It went, Fox News something. Fox News. Fox News. That's it. That's the one.
Despite the lack of public access to the airwaves, says Andrea Buffa of Code Pink, the demonstrators were able to get their messages into the mainstream media through the use of diverse tactics.
We managed to get out messages about issues that the Republicans are not talking about in their convention and they don't want to bring up. Every day it's been something different. We've talked about the ongoing violence in Iraq. Today the focus was unemployment and working people. We keep bringing these issues up. It's competing with their messages and it's cutting into their airtime. Except a lot of people are still in jail right now and we need to be, at the same time we continue our protesting, we need to be working to get them out of jail.
Tell me what a police state looks like!
A bunch of people just got arrested for no reason. A couple people dropped the banner off here, and then they got arrested, and then they just converged on a bunch of people doing absolutely nothing.
They were asked to take it down, and while they were taking it down, they got arrested.
1,800 protesters were picked up at peaceful marches and rallies in New York that week. The number of arrests during the RNC was the highest of any demonstration since the early 70s. Katya Komisarek of the Just Cause Law Collective has provided legal support at large demonstrations since the Seattle WTO protests in 1999.
I mean, people were arrested for parading without a permit as they were on their way into the subway, coming home after a legally permitted parade. Other people were simply standing on the street corner waiting to cross the street when a net was cast over them, and they were captured and hauled off to pens.
Despite Zoe Ginsberg's efforts to avoid arrest, she experienced the police net firsthand while at an August 31st rally. She spent 2 days in a holding cell.
And people were stuck in the crosswalk. And, like, the police, as soon as the light changed, were like, the light's red, arrest them all, arrest them all. And so those people escaped into the crowd. And in retaliation, the police came with these orange fences and, like, penned us all in. And, like, we didn't think that we were doing anything wrong because, like, it happened kind of slowly. But we thought that it was, like, for our safety or the people on the other side of the fence were getting arrested. Because we really, like, I was standing on the sidewalk exactly how they told me to. And my charges are failure to move on. Well, of course I failed to move on if I'm penned in by police barricades. I was in the same cell with these women and we were like singing and we were actually having a pretty good time. We were singing everything from like Destiny's Child to like Jeff Buckley and like spirituals, like anything that we all knew, like Grease songs from the musical. We were desperate for entertainment. And that corrections officer was pretty nice. They were like, you can sing, but sing quietly so that we can still talk on the phone. And they were like, can we put in requests? And we were like, sure.
Zoe's protest experience gave her new perspectives on her life back home, school, her sex education job with Planned Parenthood, and in organizing with a direct action collective.
I think it radicalized me.
which obviously wasn't their intent. But in general, like, it has radicalized me, and it's made me realize that the prison system is, like, it doesn't matter what you do. They are going to treat you the same no matter what. And it's not about what you did, it's about what they say you did.
Leading up to the week of the convention, the mass media was gearing the public up for violent demonstrations. Many hearkened back to the 1968 Democratic Convention, during which protests over the Vietnam War turned into a riot.
Some of the demonstrators ran back into the park with a few sticks. The police are now moving across in a rank, shooting tear gas.
The 68 convention was said to have strengthened the revolutionary fervor of the 60s. Although Leslie Kaufman of United for Peace and Justice says people have been galvanized by the 2004 convention protests, she says there are no parallels to the 68 mobilization.
There's no comparison. There's no comparison. The 68 convention, there was, you know, a few thousand people. And obviously, the drama of those events captured the media spotlight and led to subsequent mythologizing of Chicago 68 as having been some kind of apex of protest. It was an important event, to be sure, but I think that ultimately it's far more significant what's happening today, that we're seeing a movement coming together that is so broad and so firmly rooted in communities large and small around the country. It's a vast array of people from all over the country using a huge array of approaches, styles, tones, tactics. It's a much broader and deeper movement and expression of dissent.
Kaufman says the week went beyond her expectations. She says demonstrations serve to make activists feel they are part of a larger movement, but protest is not a substitute for grassroots community organizing.
Massive protests like our Sunday march can accomplish a range of things. They send out a strong public message at the time of the event, but they also inspire people. And what typically happens after an event like this is you see an upsurge in grassroots organizing in, you know, thousands of communities all around the country.
The week of demonstrations against the RNC was a milestone in the progressive movement, according to Kaufman. She says organizers made a concerted effort to avoid conflict over tactics by supporting many ways of expressing dissent. Lawyer and organizer Katya Kamasarik says the numbers of arrests are not what makes an impact on the public.
What's certainly been significant is that there have been protests that are so diverse in terms of the voices represented and the groups of different people, that certainly has an impact on the politics. This is not just all young people, not just all white people, it's not just all poor people, you know. The diversity has been striking. Their message has been very clear, that they don't like the results Bush has produced in 4 years, and it's not a matter of raw numbers, it's a matter of the sincerity of the people. In this case, we've got both. Huge numbers of people, and they're, by gosh, they're sincere. And they've been nonviolent. So if that is not having an impact, I don't know what else could.
How the week of demonstrations against the Republican National Convention will affect the 2004 presidential election remains unknown. Louis Jones is doing voter registration among drug users and the homeless in New York City. The campaign not only empowers marginalized communities to be involved in the political process, but builds coalitions among grassroots organizations. Regardless of who wins the White House in 2004, Louis is optimistic that the fight against AIDS and homelessness can be won through community organizing.
We're saying that, you know, whoever the presidential candidate is, take leadership in ending the AIDS crisis, you know what I mean, locally as well as globally. And we're saying that we can win the war, you know what I mean, and that's the war on AIDS, you know what I mean, and that's the war for ending hunger and homelessness and violence and poverty in our communities, you know, and that's what we're looking at. And that's why we got together, and that's why we organized, and that's why we marched, you know what I mean, on the RNC on August 30th.